So wait, real quick, is your picture for Skype, is that you holding a hammer?
It's an axe, I believe.
It's an axe? Okay. So
yeah, that picture is 10 years old. It's when I lived in Japan and I was camping, because I think that's why I got Skype initially, because I lived in Japan and it was before there was like video cameras built into computers. So I only talked to people on Skype, but I didn't see them.
So in that short span, in an explanation of your Skype picture,
yeah,
involved a camping trip while living in Japan. How do you not think you're interesting all the time?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
I didn't say I wasn't interesting. I believe I'm an interesting person. I said I don't know if I necessarily have anything interesting to say about meditation, but you can ask me questions like Terry Gross, and then maybe I will. So,
okay, that's fine. All right, let's Terry Gross the shit out of this.
Cool.
All right. Well, before that, since we got you on here, this is something that we like to do in the beginning of our podcast when we start get going. We like to talk about for that particular week, for this last week, who you would fight.
Who I would fight.
Yeah. Who would you fight?
Like with the intention of like being violent, or like with the intention of it being like a theatrical event?
Wow. I mean, honestly, I think it's in whatever vein the fight speaks to you. I mean, because I'm not going to, you know, micromanage another person's fight fantasy.
I don't know. I never really have like fighting tendencies. Oh, I do have one, but does this part get included on the podcast?
Okay, so now it does, but so can you not say names? Can we get through this without saying names?
Sure. There is another organization in Philadelphia that I can't. I'll have to come up with another one. Okay. Because it was, I mean, I don't care if they listen to it, but there's like only one other organization in Philadelphia that does. So people would be able to figure it out.
okay, so already, okay, fair enough. So we can,
all right.
Are you I'll not using that one then?
You're not I'm using not using that. Okay. Redacted. Off the record. I don't know. I'm not a fighter. I think maybe because of all of this meditation. So I don't think, I also don't think I'd be very good at fighting. I'm strong, but I don't think I don't know. I took Tai Bo like 12 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, Rocky didn't win in the first movie.
I don't know. I have no one to fight with besides the thing I'm redacting, and it wasn't a person. It was a nonprofit organization.
All right, that alone is good enough. That
yeah,
answers,
that's
that answers
yeah.
The question.
You can say I want to fight a nonprofit organization, but they will be remain nameless. a nonprofit organization in Philadelphia. That's all I'll say.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's the level of carnage that Hillary is about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I wish mine was exciting as that. This week I was in I was in a car with my son. We were driving, and this deer. You know how when you're driving, like something happens, and all of a sudden you get in the zone. You know, like
I don't drive, but okay.
Oh
yes.
Goodness gracious, Hillary! How can we relate on things?
I know.
All of my analogies and metaphors are driving related.
That's okay. I've been in your car though, so I can envision.
Okay, that's fair. You've been in my car. You know what I'm talking about. Remember how my car has windows?
Yes.
So out of the side window, I could see a deer like coming out of the like running full speed ahead, and I slowed down. The deer jumped into the street, ran straight across my car. And if I didn't slow down, I would have hit him. And my son goes, "Daddy, did you see that deer?" And I go, "I did see that deer. It was crazy." And he goes, "Well, that's why you have to keep your eyes on the road." And I was like, "Well, Finn, my eyes were on the road." And he was like, "No, they weren't. That's why you didn't see the deer." I'm like, "Motherfucker!" So I would fight my son this week. Is who I would fight. My 4-year-old know-it-all, almost five. He's almost five. I think I should say that for his own sake.
But, yeah, you might not want to include that on your podcast, or child services might come after you.
I didn't fight him, and I think that's a very important distinction.
Yes.
You know, like we should also. You know, make the distinction that Hillary did not fight a nonprofit organization.
Yes.
It's just a fantasy. So, but you are fit. You're a fit person. You said you've done Tai Bo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do Tai Bo currently, but yes, I go to an exercise class 4 to 5 times a week. This week I went 5 times.
Good Lord. What do you got, the championship belt coming up?
No, it's a bar class, so, you know, it strengthens you, but that's about it.
Well, I mean, it's not it. It's strength and dexterity. So bar is ballet bar is what you're talking about, right?
I think that's initially where the idea for the workout came from, but it's not very related to ballet, besides there being an actual ballet bar in the class.
Okay, when you say it's not related to ballet, you mean you're not dancing? Because you're using ballet form, right?
Yeah, there's no dancing. It's like Pilates and I'm trying to think what else would combine. Like the TRX, like those, you know, those band resistance bands, like all that kind of stuff. And weights.
But your primary form is still going to be belly button to the spine, perineum up.
Yeah, Pilates. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I guess that is that is also Pilates. But honestly, Pilates is kind of an extrapolation off of early ballet workouts to begin with.
Right, because Joseph Pilates started it for ballet dancers, because I believe he was a ballet dancer, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it's the only thing I don't respect about him.
You take Pilates, don't you?
I don't take Pilates. I mean, I've taken Pilates, and I am all about Pilates as far as strength and conditioning is concerned, especially for people my age.
Yes.
You know, it's you got to protect your joints. That's the most important thing to do.
Yeah. My boyfriend, who you know, takes Pilates, and I believe you are similar in age as well.
Yeah, we have the same reference points.
Yes.
But no, I mean, and he's doing the right thing. I don't know if that's your influence or my influence, but I feel like he comes to me for a lot of fitness questions.
Yeah, he also comes to me for a lot of fitness questions.
Yeah, but what he needs it verified, he comes to me.
I see. When he needs a verification from a man, he comes to you.
Yeah,
I think.
It's your answers aren't patriarchal enough for him.
Right, right.
But that's cool. So, you know, so what is your fitness goal then?
I don't know. Overall, I guess I just want to be able. So we hold a 90-second plank in part of the warm up of the class, and sometimes it's a plank where you only have one leg on the ground. Sometimes you have weights in your hand, one hand while the other one's in forearm plank, things like that. And there's only been a handful of times that I've been able to hold the full plank for the full 90 seconds. I'll usually take a little bit of a rest. So I would like to consistently hold my plank for 90 seconds, and then push up to straight arms from the plank instead of dropping to my knees to the ground.
Oh,
those
okay.
would be initial goals. I can do a split for the first time I'm 35 and I started to be able to do a split a year ago. So I can do a split for the first time in my life. And I took ballet as a kid and,
wow.
I can do full body push-ups, and I guess I just would like to do more than I do now, which is probably about 10.
Okay. What do you do? Are you a cardio person? Do you run?
I ride my bicycle. I walk places, but there's a cardio form of this bar class that I take once a week that involves a lot of jumping.
Wow, man, you're a lot more. You know, I didn't know that this is the way you train. I know what your body looks like.
Yeah,
that sounded weird. But
yeah, it did sound weird.
Yeah, I apologize for that. But I know that you're a fit person. I know the kind
right.
of musculature you have. But I didn't understand that this is what you got it from. You're it's more athletic based of working out than I would have thought for you.
Yeah, and it's been more, I go 4 to 5 times consistently, maybe in the last, 8 months or so, but I've been doing it for about 3 years, and that's all I do now. As you may know, I don't really perform on shows anymore. I don't go to comedy open mics, things like that, because I schedule all of my life around exercising.
Wow, that's kind of how, it's kind of how my life is scheduled, too, and it's really tough.
Yeah.
Really well, but honestly, it's only tough when it comes to comedy, because it's easy when it comes to family, because we all are into fitness.
Right.
You know, and we're not forcing it on our kids. Like, it's just like we're working out and they want to work out with us. So we let them do everything they can with us. So it's not like I have a lot of things in my way, but sometimes it's hard, you know, because I'm at home with the kids all day and I got to wait till Ainsley gets home for me to be able to even do anything.
Yeah.
You know, so then it's like it's also a short window where I can get on stage in that time. And some of the open mics are really accommodating. I mean, they don't even understand how much they're doing for me when they let me get on as soon as I get there.
Yeah, yeah.
But that lets me get home and get to the gym before it closes.
Oh, you go to the gym after you do comedy?
I go to the gym whenever I can. So if I can't make it within an adequate enough time before leaving to get on stage, I have to, you know, hope to God that I can get on stage early enough that I can get home to work out before my gym closes. But it's just tough for me to go to miss my weightlifting days.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your routine, or have you already talked about it on this podcast?
Oh, I mean, it changes up all the time. Like right now, I'm kind of getting back into, so I had this New York City ballet book that gives you just the work, all the stretches, warm-ups, core stuff, leg stuff, bar stuff that they do as their primary workout.
Oh, so you take bar class as well?
I do. I'm not
independent study.
Yeah, I am. It's like I'm auditing a bar class right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like I'm kind of getting back into that because I'm getting obsessed with working the core really to a really fine point, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, Sunday, every Sunday, I dedicate strictly to core. It's like it's nothing but a core and balance day for me.
Huh. Do you know about this place called Solid Core?
No, this is my first hearing of it.
So you know how there's all these, like, there's gyms, obviously, but now it seems that every, like, fitness activity has its own, like, boutique fitness studio where they also sell clothes and a lifestyle, and it's crazy. Well, anyway, that's, like, I'd go to one of those for bar, but one opened up, and I haven't taken it yet, called Solid Core. And from what I understand, well, it's in the dark with a black light, and then you're on reformer machines, like that style of Pilates, but everything's in super crazy slow motion so that they, like, make you hold stuff for, like, crazy long amounts of time. But it's all core work, and it actually looks frightening.
It sounds frightening. I mean, as soon as you said it's in the dark with a black light, I was like, I'm out.
Yeah, and also with black, like, then you can see, like, if the studio's all dirty, like, the bacteria, like, how they did on those, like, MTV shows where they, like, ransacked people's rooms and, like, held up black lights to their sheets. Yeah. Like, I feel like you would see the nastiest shit in their studios.
Could you imagine, like if the panic that would just wash over your human body if, like, even if, like TJ ran into your room with a black light, just like real quick, hi, I got a black light, and turned off the light and flicked on the back. Like, in that moment,
disgusting.
Like, the sheer terror I would have of, oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. That's like, I don't know why they became cool at, like, nightclubs, because I feel like it makes everybody look really scary.
It does. It shows the lint that you have all over your face that you don't normally see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah, not a fan of black lights. That's something that Hillary and I both stand by. That's how we became friends, actually.
That would be funny if that was how we became friends.
Yeah, our staunch no black light policy.
Yeah.
I guess it's important for people to know that Hillary is also not just an entertaining conversationalist, but a storyteller. She's a raconteur, if you will.
Yes.
But a great storyteller. I mean, when you say storyteller, do you ever define yourself as a comedic storyteller?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would do that. I mean, now it's like I don't even call my I kind of call myself that, but I, like, since I turned my storytelling into a company, I call myself, like, the founder of Tell Me a Story, because I do so much more stuff with it now. And now that I do so much audio stuff, I call myself an audio documentarian.
That's awesome.
But yes, comedic storyteller is also good.
Yeah, because you're definitely funny.
Thank you. So are you.
Well, yeah, well, that goes without saying. I think I think if I'm not mistaken, I am the metric that people use to define funny.
Yeah, I would say that's agreeable.
Yeah, last I checked. But you, I mean, you're like, because it's a lot of storytelling gets kind of like the umbrella of storytelling is wide.
Yeah, and a lot of people just don't even really get it. Like, some people think it's like a folklorist, like sitting with a bunch of kids in a circle performing Anansi the Spider.
Yeah.
some people, and then there's like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with this, but there's like storytelling shows where a lot of the stories are like really serious and intense and like the most life-changing thing ever, where a message is pounded into you as the audience member. And then there's like those delightful stories from life that do have some sad things in them, but ultimately your audience is laughing and sharing that experience with you in retrospect.
But I feel like, but I feel like the messages of your story, you know, they're left into you, which is a different technique rather than like the other storytellers that are using like this method of like, you know, pounding this sad, you know, these sad beats into your psyche. You know,
yeah.
you're exposing a lot of human vulnerability, you know, and you know, I guess like human commonality within that vulnerability through laughter, which is a similar thing. I mean, you're still doing the thing that storytellers do.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think the way you described it is interesting. I think it's hard though when there's a show that combines more of these like small moment stories and big moment stories, and then you, as a small moment storyteller, leave feeling like, okay, well, my life's pretty insignificant, because you feel like it didn't have the same impact as someone who's maybe like sharing something super gut-wrenching. But I liked the way that you just described it, and I think there's merit in both.
Definitely. I mean, but I will agree though, because I've done enough storytelling shows, like you know, mostly thanks to you, but I've done enough to know that it is intimidating to go to follow a story that has just made the audience cry.
Yeah.
when I know that like I'm just here to be silly, you know, it's like,
yeah.
It's tough. So it's but you, I mean, you do a good job of not only you know, being a great storyteller, but I think you do a good job of curating good storytelling shows.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'm very impressed and happy and proud to know that you have turned this all into a business. I mean, I know that you've been doing that for a while, in the process of it at the very least. But yeah, I mean, I still, you know, think about some of the more fun shows that I had, you know, just the experience and the people that I was performing with, and that storytelling show that we did outside in front of that museum that one day is always.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that, actually. That's really funny.
That was a fun experience, which is a fun time.
Yeah, I think and that one was like supposed to be for kids, but it was like funny who ended up sitting and listening. It was like a weird mix of people.
It was. So let's talk a little bit about this meditation. So how long to this day, how many days in a row have you meditated?
Oh my gosh, I just did it like an hour ago. I think I'm at 186.
Whoa, that's a school year.
Or 185. It's either 185 or 186. I hit 180 on Monday. So wait, today's, yeah, so like 186.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. Now, are you meditating with an app? Are you using something to help you meditate? Or are you just doing this through a technique that you've learned?
No, I'm using an app called Headspace. It's like one of the main meditation apps. But when I started meditating, which was maybe a year and a half to 2 years ago, I also did it with an app, but one that was just called Calm. And I didn't really commit to doing it. Like, I think the longest I ever went was 30 days in a row. And I like felt really great doing it that long, but then it was just hard to turn it into something I did consistently. And then I claimed 2017 as like the year that I was going to conquer happiness, whatever that means. So as part of that, I wanted to meditate every single day of 2017. And I started maybe like the very end of December. So I started before the new year. And then I'm also doing this thing called the Happiness Planner, which is a daily happiness journal, which I can talk more about. But I do those things in tandem. So I guess I consider the journal part of the meditation as well.
Okay, that's awesome. Like that, because now would you have considered, before having meditated as long as you have, would you have considered journaling meditation?
No, and I don't know if I still do, but this one is like specifically targeted, I think, towards like a mindfulness angle.
Gotcha.
And happy with like happiness being the goal, I guess. But yeah. But also, I should say that my dad started meditating maybe 3 years ago at this point, and he does transcendental meditation. And he has like a teacher and he has a mantra and all that stuff. So I think when he started doing it, I kind of made fun of him, but then I noticed that it was having a good effect on him. And I think that's when I sort of became more intrigued.
Yeah, like when he was like levitating into the room and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I've only ever seen him do it once because he was like doing it in the airport when we were like waiting for a flight. But besides that, I haven't really seen him do it.
Okay. So yeah. I will say this, though. The I also use the Headspace app.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I've been using it for a little while. And I guess not a full year, but close enough to a full year where I have to say that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
so,
awesome.
So here's where I'm at. I'll tell you, I'm looking at it right now. I am at 63 days in a row.
That's awesome. That's
yeah.
great.
Had a few start and stops here and there. Like I got up to 30 once and stopped. And I did also try to use some other meditation apps, but this guy's voice is just so awesome.
I'm obsessed with this guy's voice, and I really like they just like revamped the way that it looks, and I think it's much more easier to track and use now. And I just like the little badges that they give you. I think that's like one of the main reasons I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it every day so I can get this little badge. Like I got the one on 180 days. So
yeah. Well, I wish you could set like a maturity level for it, because
yeah,
I'm not going to get any badge on the 69th day, and I think I deserve one.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be able to set your own badges. And also, if you like skip a couple days, it shouldn't make you go back to the beginning. Does it like revoke your badges?
I think so. You do start back from zero. But you know what? That's part of it. I mean, that's part of the discipline of doing it. I don't mind that part. I don't mind that
yeah.
part. Because it's
yeah.
it's like, do you, like, having gone 180, at five at the very least, say 185 days
yeah.
in a row of meditation, do you want somebody that had 3 days of not doing it to be able to come back in like they hadn't missed a day at all?
I guess not. But also, like, when you meditate, you're not supposed to have thoughts like that, I guess. You know?
No. You're supposed to have the thoughts that you have. And
that's
mostly,
true.
Mostly what I'm thinking about is keeping other people from receiving badges. I want to be, you know, I have like a Highlander mentality. I want to be the only one.
Yeah, I almost missed yesterday. So instead, I just meditated at like 11:15 at night. And I did the app, but it was like I was also sort of falling asleep. But I still was sitting upright, so I think that it counts. But I was like, I almost got close to destroying my streak.
Oh, man, that's a very controversial question within the meditation world.
Yeah.
When meditation stops being meditation and starts becoming sleep. That's a very...
Yeah.
and does it count? You know, it's,
yeah.
It's tough. It's, well, that's like... It's, first of all, I'm excited to know... the depth of because we talk about a lot of stuff. It's mostly you making fun of me, but
and I would say you making fun of me as well.
Okay, it's mostly us making fun of each other. All right.
Yeah.
So I mean, I've never really you're clearly a fit looking person, but I never knew how much fitness was a large part of your lifestyle.
Yeah, and I would say like it wasn't as intense as it is now until like the last like, well, I've been going more often the last like 8 months, but then maybe the last like 2 years is when I really like started focusing on it.
How is your diet? What do you eat?
At times like insanely healthy. Right now, not so much, but I usually like I get a farm share. I used to get the kind of farm share where you didn't have any choice as to what came in your box every week, which I actually really enjoyed because it was like, all right, I have all these weird vegetables and now I have to look up recipes to like make food with all of them. And so I was eating like super insanely healthy then because I also made a lot of food and I always had leftovers and things. Now I have one where I sort of select what's in the box. And so I'm not as good at coming up with like more interesting, super healthy meals. But I eat fish. But other than that, I'm a vegetarian. I eat dairy, but not too much. I try to make all my food at home. I don't really like buying lunch or I mean, I like going out to eat dinner, but it's just easier for me to make my food at home. So yeah, I try to be super healthy, but I also really like candy. So I eat a lot of candy.
So that's your unhealthy, because it's like it's hard to be unhealthy when you're a vegetarian.
Yeah, and I'm also, I don't beat myself up about it because I have like an active lifestyle and I don't want to like, I don't think I need to lose weight. I don't think like I'm, you know, I just want to like feel healthy and be healthy, and I don't want to die from some disease that I got from like eating Cool Ranch Doritos every day for every meal, you know?
That's totally fair. I mean, you're talking like the this podcast, that's like the mantra of this podcast. I mean, honestly, like the main reason that I'm fit, and I say this on stage too, but it's like I want to feel comfortable saying whatever I want to say.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like you're either gonna have to beat me up or catch me. So if you can't do either one of those two things, I'm gonna say whatever I want to say,
you know. That's a good motivation too.
It is. It's a, you know, escapability. We call it escapability. We just want to have escapability. And that's like, you know, it's weird. It's weird how different, you know, like I never really had an opportunity to think about fitness in ways that didn't apply to either achieving a goal athletically or, you know, just getting better athletically. I've always, like my dad had me working out and lifting weights since I was a little kid. I've always done competitive sports. So to see that, like, a person that doesn't have that upbringing and how much they associate working out with, like, these, like vanity.
Yeah.
Primarily. And vanity is one of these things that you're trying to avoid. So then people almost, you know, create this, like, ethically superior practice of not working out.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, and I think that there's always going to be a little part of like eating healthy and working out that like breeds vanity all because of like the workout and fitness culture. And also like you do start to feel better about yourself and confident. And so you are like looking at yourself sometimes like to see if things, you know, like your muscles are getting bigger and things like that, you know? So I feel like it's weird. Like even if you don't want it to be a part of it, it is in some way.
Well, it's fun to see. It's fun to see. It's fun to look into the mirror and say like, yeah, I'm this age and I still look this way. You know, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, for me, I think also you say age. Like, I think as soon as I turned like I just turned 35, but as soon as I turned 30, I was like, oh shit, like I'm old now. Like I have to do all these things so that I don't feel old. So for me, it's not like I still look this way, but I'm like, okay, like I am like in good shape and eat healthy, and I'm this age, and I'm not gonna die. That's like.
Definitely.
My whole thing.
I will never pretend that I'm not fighting aging every day of my life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, well, is there anything about having done meditation for this? Like, you've been journaling, you've been keeping track of things. Like, yeah. Well, first of all, has your handwriting gotten better?
I always have good handwriting because I actually write out all my stories and like anything I'm performing and any sort of like public speaking thing I do or notes that I take like in notebooks with pen. So I have good handwriting.
Good handwriting. You didn't develop a new font or anything. You just stuck with
No. And I would say like, so this thing is called the Happiness Planner. There's like I wish that Headspace and the Happiness Planner would sponsor your podcast because we're basically giving them free advertising. But yeah, it's like, it's a daily journal and it like lists your schedule and your to-dos, but I don't really keep it for that. But like the beginning is like today, there's a quote on the top of every page that's like, you know, something to think about that's positive. And then it's like, today I'm excited about, and then main focus. And then it has you, oh, yeah, what your exercise is, what your eating is. And then so I do that stuff in the morning, and then I fill out, like, my eating at the end of the day. And then at the end of the day, it's like there's a general thing that says notes. So I'll usually put things there that are, like, not happy things. Like, today I got anxious, like, when I was riding my bike or things like that just to, like, keep track. But then it's, like, what you're grateful for, what was the most exciting thing about the day, and then what you're looking forward to for tomorrow. And then at the end of every month, there's like a reflection and you have to rate your like happiness on a score. I think it's of 1 to 10 or 1 to 9. It's happiness, health, there's a whole bunch of things. And then I think at the end of the year, you're supposed to like tally up and like see what your score was. I don't really fully know.
Well, no, but it sounds like a great habit for transitioning the brain out of romanticizing negative thoughts.
Yeah, and it is. It's just a little intense, too, the same way that I, like, have to, like, I don't stress about meditating. Like, I'm always excited for it, but making sure I make time for it. It's the same with this planner. And it weighs maybe, like, 7 pounds, and I've been bringing it, like, on trips. Like, I've been traveling a lot, and I just, like, bring it in my carry-on bag and, like, have it with me everywhere. And I've, like, my boyfriend and I don't live together, and I'll, like, carry it to his house, like, so that I can fill it out and things, and it's, like, 7 pounds. So it's, and it comes in a box, so it's, like, I'm carrying this, this like, turquoise box around with me. So that part's a little intense, but I'm happy that I've been doing it.
But, it is intense, and it sounds intense, but it's, when you, whatever you are doing, you're pretty much doing it that intensely. Whatever you're doing to your health, your mental health, and your body, It's always to a very dedicated level of intensity.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you have to. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm just saying, either good or bad. If you're doing something bad to your body, you're pretty much doing it like, you know, like that guy that has a Twinkie in his pocket everywhere he goes. You know, it's he's out there. And I know he's out there because, like, it's just, I rarely travel out of the city without getting a cookie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and I feel like I'm like moderate, you know, like, yeah. It's like at best. So it's that's a, you know, I don't know where I was going with that. I'm thinking about cookies now, but
oh, I already ate cookies today.
Yeah, I ate a cookie on the way to the studio today.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's you know, it's not like I live a completely healthy lifestyle, but there was something in what you were saying that I wanted to get to, because, you know, it does seem like you're doing a lot to maintain a certain level of comfort physically, mentally, and emotionally.
Yeah.
Where do you find the motivation to keep it going?
I think, like, I don't know. I don't really use the term New Year's resolutions, but I always kind of try to, like, well, now I'm sort of like evaluating everything in my life quarterly because I'm like running my own business and I kind of have to do it that way. But I think like in my like personal life and goals, like I like having like a new intention or motivation at the beginning of the year. And I'm a highly anxious person and I'm still like battling with that. But this is what I wanted to do to fix or resolve a lot of my anxiety. It was meditation and this journal versus going to therapy and taking medication. And not that I think there's anything wrong with either of those things. I just knew that for me, where my anxiety stemmed from, I was pretty sure that I could fix it in these cognitive ways and these like habitual ways and reset that way. So that's my motivation, is to like maintain the baseline of calm that I'm developing and also like improve upon it.
And you've been seeing differences in that regard?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I still get anxious over certain things, but like my baseline anxiety is like super low. I'm like less social phobic than I was. Like I go through spurts, but like last year, maybe the year before, I was like super, super anxious about a lot of different things. So yeah, there's still like certain things, like getting from one place to another still like makes me anxious, but I'm working on that too. But yeah, just like baseline, My like big freakouts are gone. Then they were like big and constant and over stupid things. So that has like pretty much been eliminated, which is good.
Well, that's healthy.
Yeah.
Man, I've seen you anxious before, but I've never seen a freak out or a blow up from you. And I think I feel like I've missed out on seeing like a shooting star while riding a unicorn.
I think a lot of the freaking out is internal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but I've like, I think my public anxiety has died down a little bit as well.
Yeah, I think there was only one time I've ever felt that you were anxious around me. And I remember it because it was very specifically, like I looked at you and I was like, she doesn't look like she wants to deal with my shit right now. And I just left you. I remember leaving you alone. I remember that. I
mean, right.
I could have read that wrong.
No, I mean, I don't remember that situation, but it's probably likely that I was anxious about something else and then whatever you were doing wasn't helping the situation. But I also do not remember, so.
Yeah, but I'm also often not helping the situation. I know that about me. That's not something that I pretend doesn't exist.
But you bring laughter and pizzazz into every situation.
Pizzazz. Did you spirit fingers when you did that? I did.
I didn't, no.
Yeah. And it's, I guess it should be mentioned that we're on a Skype. Hillary and I are on a Skype conversation right now.
We are. But we both. I have a studio microphone. Do you have a studio microphone?
I am using a studio microphone. Well, yeah. I like to use a handheld microphone because I like the feeling. You know, I'm used to that on stage, so I like to hold a microphone. But it's still a studio quality microphone.
Mine's in like a fancy stand and it has a pop filter on it. But I am in a closet in my house because that's where I've set up my makeshift vocal booth.
Wow, you are definitely Terry Grossing the hell out of this interview.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Hillary, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule of carrying that big ass box of book around. But this was fun. I mean, is there anything else that you wanted to say? Have you thought of anybody else you might have wanted to fight throughout this interview? If not, that's cool. You don't have to fight anybody.
No, I'm really not into fighting at because of all of this meditation. I really think it is.
Because I believe you would be, with the way that you work out, you get more fighting strength than the way most people work out. You'll be more inclined for like jujitsu than any other fitness.
Yeah. My worry is, so a lot of my like anxious thoughts that I used to have a lot of was like, if I was going to get like jumped on the way home or like attacked being out or like things like that. So I think I've worked so hard to not feel that way that I don't want to think about me fighting someone, even if I'm capable of it, because I still can't think of a scenario that's not like me getting attacked.
Well, that actually brings something up. I mean, and I kind of wanted to say something about it earlier, but I didn't want to make any assumptions about like a source of anxiety. But like, you're a petite woman.
Yes.
Right. And I Ansley and I joke around about petite women and how that they should have a little more trepidation for how they go throughout the world, because, you know, the smaller you are, the more likely you are to be overtaken by a bigger guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, like it's like, and this is just like if everything was just equal, you know, like a guy who's 5'10" has he can take down a woman who's 5'7", but he'd have an easier time with 5'6" and then 5'5", and then do you know what I mean? Like, and theoretically easier down the ladder or down the height, down the size. And but it's also there's sometimes like when petite women have that life anxiety, they do a lot of projecting that onto other people, and you don't do that. And
I do. I just haven't seen it.
Well, I see it. Maybe I haven't, but you gotta understand. I mean, you know me. When I say this, you gotta understand how true this could be. But a lot of times, petite women project that onto me.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
You know, where it's you know, and I'm sure I know you don't feel that way about me. But if you thought about it, if you think about the way that I am, it's like because I don't really feel sorry for people.
Right.
You know, and I feel like I'm not a coddler, you know, and I feel like there's never a sense that you feel like you need to be looked after. I always feel with you, it's like, I'll fucking look after myself.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's my whole philosophy. I can do it myself. Carolyn Busa, our mutual friend, 1 year for my birthday, gave me a children's book that's called I Can Do It Myself. I Can Do It Myself.
So
I have it.
How are you about asking for help?
I'll ask for help if I like really need it, but I do tend to like be more independent in figuring things out. But if it was like an emergency or like a life-threatening situation or something, I would like ask for help. But also, I feel like as far as what you were saying too, I think that there's a difference between like having a level of trepidation and like awareness of like the worst case scenario type thing, and then letting that like consume your thoughts to the point that like you don't want to leave your house. So I feel like there's some sort of way to still be like aware and not let it like overtake you.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, because I think everybody has to be aware and then delusional at the same time. Like, you have to know that something's going to happen and believe it's not going to happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's that. That got sad and weird.
I was about to say. Now everyone's gonna. It's like a storytelling show. There were funny moments, and then there's the moments where the audience is gonna cry. And I think we accomplished that.
Yeah, that was it was very well done. So before we go, we like to any tips, like a fitness tip, just or a tip about meditation. Anything you want to part with?
Well, for fitness, for me, I like have to schedule it into my week. And I've personally found that if I work out in the middle of the day, I'm more likely to commit to it. And it's also like a good way of breaking up what I'm doing. Like if there's, because I don't have like a typical schedule, but if I'm like, all right, in the morning I'm doing this, then I'm going to go to my class. And then in the afternoon, I'm going to like do this other thing. It just is like a nice, it's like a palate cleanser, I guess. But also like I have the convenience of working for myself now, and also my exercise, my boutique fitness studio is two blocks away from my co-working space because it's 2017 and those are things that people have now.
If I'm not mistaken, the tip was start your own business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Determine your own schedule. Mm-hmm. And work out in the middle of the day. No, well, I mean, you can do that. People can do that. People, there's all sorts of crazy, like this. We live in the time of the flexible schedule. Like everything's so different now.
Yeah. And it's not, for me, it's working out in the middle of the day, but I think it's like committing it, putting it on your schedule in the beginning of the week, and also like making sure you're doing it at a time where you feel like you would be best to do it. So whether that's like first thing in the morning or like at the end of the day or the middle of the day. But I think like for me, that just helped continue my motivation to do it because I just built it into my schedule. And now it's like just a routine that I have.
And we always say, you know, find the closest gym or facility to where you're going to be. You don't try to go out all crazy because you want to believe you're going to commit to something and then it's too far away. So we don't want you to do that either.
Yeah, but find a place that you also really like. Like the place I go to is like a little bit fancy, but I like that it's fancy and I enjoy that hour of fanciness in my day.
I like the way you said fancy.
With my Philadelphia accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll say this is a fitness tip, but we're going to keep in the theme of meditation. I want you out there focusing on breathing. Let's breathe while we work out. I mean, a lot of times I'm guilty of it myself, or I'll find myself with my lips sealed shut while I'm lifting weights or doing any sort of workout where it's strenuous. And it would be much easier to breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's exhale on the hard part is what you say.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, if you don't breathe, you die. So that's another way of thinking about it.
That is, but you know what? That's not enough. For some, you know, because it's like, I mean, you do Pilates. Do you find yourself in moments where you're like, oh my God, I just did 3 reps without breathing at all?
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be certain things. Like, I think when I hold forearm plank, I don't really breathe.
Yeah, because you're like gritting your teeth and like, yeah, it's tough. So breathe. Yeah. Breathe.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, remember to breathe. And Hillary, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sydney. This was fun.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, when you're close to that next badge, we might have you on here again because Dave is flaky.
Yeah, I love talking about fitness and wellness, so I could be on. I also have this, this doesn't need to be included on this episode, but I have an insane vitamin regimen that I started like 2 months ago.
Oh God, yes. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that next what I like about you is you're not just an entertaining talker, but you inform yourself about things.
So, yeah.
And yeah. I like that you approach things that way. I know that about you, nerd. I know you read.
I try.
Yeah. All right, thank you so much, Hillary.
Cool.